Welcome to America's Providential History Podcast, where we talk about the real story of America and explore the hand of God in our history. Now, here's your host, Stephen McDowell.
Hello, I'm glad you're joining us for this edition of America's Providential History. Today, we will be picking up the story that we've started a couple of weeks ago on Watchmen on the Walls, pastors equipping Christians for their civil duties. What we began to look at is to see that God has called us, called His people, to be watchmen on the walls. The function of the watchman in Old Testament times was to stand on the walls of the city and look for the enemy. If they saw the enemy coming, to sound the alarm, to awaken the people so they could rise up and do battle against the enemy so he wouldn't take over the city. And today, God has watchmen on the walls. Our function today is not to literally stand on walls of cities and look for literal enemies coming in. Unless you happen to be in the military and we're fighting a just war, that might be part of a function you have. But for most Christians today, most God's leaders today, that we are to look out over our culture, over our nation, and every aspect of our nation, and identify where the enemy is attacking. And the enemy is attacking in many areas of life that And the battle that we're involved in is not of guns and bullets, but it's a battle of ideas. That's what Scripture says, that where we do battle is in the area of thinking and thought and worldview. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us. We learn from Colossians 2:8 that worldly philosophies bring men into captivity, but that philosophy, according to Christ, liberates man. So it's our mission as watchmen on the walls is to look, whether it be in government and economics and business and family life, in the marketplace of ideas and Hollywood and the media and science and technology. And if there's things involved that are seeking to displace biblical truth, to run God out of those areas, and we need to stand up and say, no, wait, that the Scripture says this. This is our duty and responsibility. We're to understand, obey the precepts of God, apply the precepts of God, because like our founders, if we do that and we build our life and nation upon the principles that contain in the Scripture, it'll be like building our house upon the rock. And that when storms come, difficult times come, then our house will stand. But if we build our house upon the sand, as Jesus taught us in that parable, then when the storms come, it'll be washed away. And so the founders of America built our nation upon the rock of God's law. Our laws, our educational institutions, our governmental institutions, our economic institutions, our families, and we're built upon the rock of Christ Jesus and His truth that we can learn in the Holy Scriptures. And so those pastors in early America were watchmen, and that they provided leadership in every area of life. They laid their whole action in prayer, as we discussed in part one, and they prayed. But not only did they pray, but they took action. And in the podcast last week, we looked at how they taught. They discipled the nation by teaching whatever the Bible had to say about all kinds of subjects. And a lot of what we looked at was the title of sermons that were printed up and distributed among the people and studied by the people. And those sermons spoke to every area of life. And all we have to do today is compare sermon topics and titles from most of our churches today with sermon topics and titles in years past, and we can see why the church has been impotent and ineffective at combating ungodly forces within our nation, because we haven't equipped the saints to be able to accomplish the work of the service of being ambassadors for God, discipling the nations and ruling over the earth and taking dominion over the earth, as Genesis chapter 1 tells us to do. And so pastors prayed, pastors taught, and also we want to begin to look at other things that they did in this podcast today. Pastors also led. Pastors provided leadership in every area of life. They led the fight for both religious and civil liberty. Early on, we see many of God's pastors leading the way for religious liberty. Those who fled England, who came here, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they came carrying with them a heart to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. And then here in America, there is still a lot for those early colonists to learn in regards to liberty of conscience. And men such as Roger Williams began to propose ideas that would help bring forth a greater concept of religious liberty than a number of people had when they came here. He served on the forefront of that, of aspects of that battle of liberty of conscience, along with many others. And it was ministers who led the fight for civil freedom. Francis McAmey was one of those individuals who stood up and fought for freedom of speech, which is a very important biblical idea, that we have the freedom to communicate truth, transmit that truth, because that truth will set people free. We see a minister, Reverend John Leland from Virginia, who played an important role in the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom. After independence, each state began to rewrite their constitutions, and in Virginia, Thomas Jefferson was on the committee that rewrote the laws in Virginia, and he authored a bill for establishing religious freedom in 1779. He believed it to compel a man to support the propagation of opinions for which he disbelieves is both sinful and tyrannical. And so he proposed this not as a means of secularization of the state, no, not by any means, but it was a step toward religious freedom. And it was men like John Leland, who was a Baptist minister, who had directly been affected by lack of religious freedom in Virginia, that supported Jefferson and proposed these ideas and spoke about them. Because in Virginia, before independence, was an Anglican colony. The Church of England was the official church. And while there are other churches existed, many dissenters, at times there was persecution of those who weren't part of the established church. This was certainly true of Baptists in parts of Virginia and early America. And these Baptists didn't think it was right that they had to support the established church, and as well as their own church. And so John Leland and other dissenting Baptists like him had promoted this idea of religious liberty for quite some time. And so under the new laws of Virginia, they said, hey, let's include this concept of religious freedom in that. And they met together with Jefferson. And Jefferson gladly said, yeah, I'll take up the cause of religious liberty. And that was what motivated him to write the 1779 Law of Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, which it did not pass then, but some 7 years later in 1786, it did pass under the guidance of James Madison and others. But it was really John Leland and pastors like this who were leading the fight, standing up for religious freedom. Another one of those early pastors who provided leadership in the area of religious freedom and civil freedom was Samuel Davies. Samuel Davies was a leader in the First Great Awakening and a leader in the cause of the advancement of civil liberty as well. Now, Samuel Davies, this was before independence, a couple of decades before independence, was in England on some business. And while in England, he was asked to deliver a sermon. And the king, King George II, who was king before King George III, who was the king during the American Revolution, he was in attendance at this sermon. Now, right in the middle of the sermon that Samuel Davies was preaching, the king, sitting there on the front row, kind of leaned over to the guy next to him, began to talk with him. And right in the middle of his sermon, Samuel Davies stopped. And he looked at the king, and he declared, "When the lion roars, the beasts of the forest all tremble. And when King Jesus speaks, the princes of earth should keep silence." The king didn't speak anymore after that. This shows you something of the boldness of this man, Samuel Davies, his fearlessness in standing up for what is right. Now, what's interesting about Samuel Davies is not only directly was he involved in advancing the cause of liberty, but he influenced many of those who championed the cause of our liberty and independence. Most particularly, he was the mentor for Patrick Henry. Thomas Jefferson called Patrick Henry the greatest orator that ever lived. You know, Virginia supplied the sword of the Revolution, the pen of the Revolution, and the tongue of the Revolution, the orator of the Revolution. And in a future podcast, we'll explore Patrick Henry and take a look at him and some of his great oratorical skills and speeches. But he was one of those early leaders in American independence, in the American Revolution, and he was trained and mentored by Samuel Davies, because when Patrick Henry was a young lad, his mother used to take him to Samuel Davies' church in Hanover County, around the area of Richmond, to sit under his influence. He heard the ideas Samuel Davies spoke. He learned a great example of oratory. This is Patrick Henry. When he would ride home from church with his mother would review him in the ideas that he had learned in the sermons. And Patrick Henry himself wanted to emulate Samuel Davies and his great oratorical skills, and he'd stand up on stumps and around his home and practice preaching as Samuel Davies did. But it's this mentoring process, the training and these ideas of the ministers that were so vital in early America. They provided leadership that was necessary to shape those who founded America and to shape it themselves. Another pastor who was a leader in the cause of civil liberty was Reverend Jonas Clark. I mentioned in an earlier podcast how the Battle of Lexington Green took place on April 19th, 1775. And it was really on the church lawn of Reverend Jonas Clark. Reverend Jonas Clark had been teaching the members of his church principles of liberty for years and years and years. And so when that day came, when the British troops marched onto Lexington Green and fired upon the British, that they were prepared to stand up to defend their God-given rights and liberties. It was Reverend Jonas Clark who declared, remarking on that shot heard round the world, he said, "From this day will be dated the liberty of the world." Not only the liberty of the United States, but the unique new liberty that came into the world with the formation of the United States of America has been an example of liberty to the nations of the world. So what we're exploring here is that pastors provided leadership in every sphere of life in early America. They prayed, they taught the people, and they showed by example. They led influenced and mentored and trained and picked up the cause of religious liberty and liberty of the press and so many other things. And in future podcasts, we'll be looking at a whole lot more stories of pastors and ministers and watchmen who were on the walls and the influence they had in the early American nation. So pastors prayed, pastors taught, pastors led, and pastors fought. I mentioned that during the American Revolution, there were many chaplains that served in the war. George Washington encouraged chaplains coming to minister to the troops, to pray for them, encourage them, preach to them. And so those chaplains provided a vital role in early America. But some of these, not only did they, were they chaplains, instructed the people, but they actually fought. I mentioned one of those in the first part one of this series of podcast of Reverend Caldwell and how he was known as the fighting chaplain and would take his guns and put them on the pulpit while he was preaching in case the British burst into the church while he was preaching to try to take him captive, that he would defend himself from that. Now, these pastors who fought and really who provided leadership in many areas were called by the British the Black Regiment. The Black Regiment, it was in reference to their pulpit gowns, the color of their pulpit gowns, and the British recognized them as leaders, some of the leaders in this American Revolution, and that's why they had a big, large bounty on their head. That's why the pastors found themselves fleeing from the British when they would come by. Their churches were destroyed or harmed. Their families were attacked as well or captured. So the Black Regiment, this name and the recognition by the British of the central role that they played was an important reason that it was an indication of the role that pastors played in the birth of America. Now, one of these members of the Black Regiment was a pastor by the name of Peter Muhlenberg. Peter Muhlenberg was the son of Henry Muhlenberg. Henry Muhlenberg was the gentleman who really introduced Lutheranism into the Americas. And Peter Muhlenberg was his son. And when the American Revolution broke out, he lived in Virginia. He grew up in Pennsylvania. That's where his father was from. But he was in Virginia pastoring two churches in Woodstock, Virginia. German-speaking church and English-speaking church. But he was also a member of the Virginia legislature, the House of Burgesses. And at the end of 1775, when the House of Burgesses was meeting in Williamsburg, Virginia, an important topic of discussion during that meeting was George Washington asking for states to send troops to fight in the Continental Army because he had been chosen that summer as the commanding general of the Continental Army. The army at that time was his army. He was up in New England where fighting had started, was taking place at the time. So General Washington, asked all the states, please send men to fight in this cause of independence. So Peter Muhlenberg was there as a member of the legislature and heard this. And so after the legislature ended, he went back to Woodstock. This was in the end of 1775, and he preached a sermon in his church. And one historian said at this time, you know, they preach politics from the pulpit. If you preach the Bible, you can't help but preach politics. Politics has to do with the public affairs of a nation, and the Bible has a whole lot to say about the public affairs of a nation, even though lots of pastors will avoid that today for different reasons. But he preached a sermon from Ecclesiastes, and in which he said, the Bible tells us there's a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to pray. But the time for me to preach has passed away. And then, like a trumpet blast, he exclaimed, "There is a time to fight, and that time has now come." Then what he did is that he pulled off his pulpit gown. And underneath his pulpit gown, he had on a uniform of a colonel in the Virginia militia. Now, in the United States Capitol building today in Washington, D.C., there is a statue of Peter Muhlenberg that depicts this incident. Now, there are many statues in our Capitol, statues of our heroes, and states gets to send two statues, and then there are some national heroes, and these are obviously influential, important men in our history. One of those is Reverend Peter Muhlenberg, and it shows him with his pulpit gown draped over his shoulders, clearly, and you see exposed his uniform as a colonel in the militia. And this is depicting this incident that took place in Woodstock, Virginia, December 1775. And then after pulling off his pulpit gown, he then ordered the drums to be beat for recruits. Nearly 300 men enlisted to march off with their pastor, Peter Muhlenberg, to go serve with George Washington. Now, that's a lot of men. Woodstock, it's a small place today. Back then, wasn't a big place. About every man capable of bearing arms must have marched off with him that day, because they understood, because they had been taught the importance of civil liberty. Peter Muhlenberg and these watchmen, these pastors in early America recognized their civil liberties are a sacred cause, just like the Apostle Paul. That's why he appealed to Caesar in the last books of the Bible of Acts. And the whole reason he went to Rome is because he stood upon his civil rights and liberties and appealed to Caesar when his civil rights had been violated. His rights as a Roman citizen were violated, and that directed the whole course of the last years of his life. Peter Muhlenberg and pastors in America, early America, understood their civil liberties are a sacred cause, and that they need to stand up and fight for the cause of liberty, whatever it may take. Now, Peter Muhlenberg went on to become a major general in the army. He served with Washington in every major conflict after Bunker Hill. He's there at the very last major battle of the war, at the Battle of Yorktown. He's one of those officers that participated in that. Now, Peter Muhlenberg had a brother. His name was Frederick Muhlenberg. Frederick Muhlenberg was also a pastor at this time during the American Revolution. He pastored a church in New York City. And when Frederick heard that Peter had resigned his pastorate and marched off to fight, to get involved in politics and war and dirty stuff like that, he wrote him a letter of rebuke. He said, "You would have acted for the best if you had kept out of this business from the beginning. I now give you my thoughts in brief. I think you were wrong." Now, this is the kind of rebuke that a lot of pastors would get today, or even Christians get today. If you get involved in government or politics and things like this, others would say, this is dirty business. You Christians have no business being involved in government and politics. Why don't you just stick to personal pietism in your churches? That's all that God requires of you anyway. So it's kind of the same rebuke that many might receive and have received today when they start to stand up in the public arena, stand upon their God-given rights and liberties. So Frederick said, "I think you were wrong." Well, Peter, of course, got the letter. He read it, and he responded to him with these words. He said, "You say, as a clergyman, nothing can excuse my conduct. I am a clergyman, it is true, but I am a member of society as well as the poorest layman, and my liberty is as dear to me as any man. Shall I then sit still and enjoy myself at home when the best blood of the continent is spilling? Heaven forbid it. You think if America should be conquered, I should be safe? Far from it. And would you not sooner fight like a man than die like a dog? I am called by my country to its defense. The cause is just and noble, and so far am I from thinking that I am wrong, I am convinced it is my duty so to do, a duty I owe to God and my country. What a powerful response from Peter. He said, look, I am a clergyman, I am a minister, and I'm concerned about theological things and personal matters of faith, but I'm also a member of society as well as the poorest layman, and my liberty is as dear to me as any man. And should I just sit here and sit still, enjoy myself at home when the best blood of the continent is spilling? Heaven forbid it. You think if America should be conquered, I should be safe? Far from it. He said, would you not sooner fight like a man than die like a dog? So he recognized he was called to the defense of his country. The cause is just and noble, and I'm far from thinking that I'm wrong. I'm convinced it is my duty to do this, a duty I owe to God and my country. And I agree with Peter. We have a duty to stand up for truth in the public life. It's a duty we owe to God, and it's standing upon our God-given obligations to him. Well, that was his response to his brother Frederick. The next year, 1777, the British soldiers marched into New York City, and they destroyed or burnt 10 of the 19 churches, completely destroyed them or burnt them to the ground. One of those churches destroyed was Frederick Muhlenberg's church. After this, he began to think, well, maybe my brother's right after all. Because if we sit here and do nothing, we might find out we have no liberty to preach the gospel. We have no liberty to send out missionaries or to do any other thing. We must stand up for that which is right and resist the tyrant. Well, after we won our war for independence, Frederick had moved back to Pennsylvania, and he was so inspired and influenced by what his brother has done by getting involved in civil affairs that he did the very same thing. And so when the new U.S. Constitution was approved and ratified and went to effect in 1789, he was chosen by his fellow citizens who lived in his area to be a member of the first Congress of the United States. And so he was elected as a member of that very first Congress, 1789, that met in New York City. And when he went to New York City and all those legislatures from all the states gathered together, they elected a Speaker of the House of Representatives. And who do you think they elected? They elected Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg. So the first Speaker of the House of Representatives, Frederick Muhlenberg, was a pastor who was inspired by his pastor brother, Peter Muhlenberg, to get involved in politics. And his painting hangs today outside the House of Representatives chamber. As our legislators, elected members leave each day, they see this picture of Frederick Muhlenberg. I don't know how many of them know that, but they are reminded here is a key role that ministers played in the early life of America, not just their theological life, religious life, but in our civil life and public affairs of our nation. As the Speaker of the House of Representatives, he, along with the Vice President of the United States, John Adams, are the only two men who signed what we know as the Bill of Rights, those God-given rights and liberties that are enshrined in our Constitution that protect us from an encroachment by civil government. So what a marvelous example of the role that pastors and ministers played in early America. So pastors took the lead in the war for American independence. Pastors and Christians must do the same thing today. We must be the watchman and lead the much-needed second American revolution. We are in need of a revolution today. Not one where we fight with guns and bullets, but it's a revolution of ideas. We need to transform America, and not just America. All the nations of the world need to be transformed. They need to be, we need a Christian revolution, a turning from pagan secular ideas to godly ideas. That's what a revolution is. It's a change. It's a turning around. And in order to affect this godly revolution in America, as well as any other nation, the watchmen, God's leaders in the church and in every sphere of life, must assume their duties to pray, to teach, to provide leadership, and to enter the battle in whatever capacity is necessary to see victory for Christ. It's time for the watchmen to wake up, to sound their alarm, and to fulfill their biblical duties, to pray, to evangelize, to educate, and to take action. And as we do, we can know that the strong God is working in our behalf. The good news is God is wakening the watchmen in America and the nations. So I have great hope for the future of America and the nations of the world, because many watchmen are waking up, recognizing the great role that we will play in securing and making this nation a land of liberty. Well, thanks for joining us on this podcast this week to learn to get these ideas in more depth. I encourage you to go to our website, providencefoundation.com, pick up some of our books. America's Providential History, Watchmen on the Walls are two important resources that expand on the ideas that we've touched on in this podcast and parts one and two in 2 weeks prior to this. So I hope you can join us next week. We'll continue on this marvelous story of America's providential history. God bless.